Welcome to episode 44 of Leadership Amplified. It's great to have your company. My guest today is Glenn Sharman. He's the general manager for MaxiTrans New South Wales, and he's been with the company for more than 5 years. Glenn has been within the transport industry, though, for his entire working career and has benefited from key leadership positions in small and medium enterprises through to global leading organisations. And that's exposed him to various working environments and cultures across multiple countries. Glenn studied at the University of Wollongong, earning a degree in business commerce with majors in marketing and e-commerce, and later went on to successfully attain an MBA with a major in international business. Glenn's experience is diverse, with expertise in strategic marketing, solid exposure in B2B and B2C sales, network and distribution development, all at mid to senior management levels. Glenn has played a key role in establishing the foundations and architecture of significant brands within Australia and New Zealand, and in the continuous improvement of customer satisfaction and awareness within the transport industry. Away from work, Glenn enjoys cycling, snowboarding, and the surf. He also volunteers with community organisations and has two young, very active children. Welcome, Glenn. Thanks very much for meeting me for Leadership Amplified.
Thanks for having me, Karen.
Very good, very good. So I'm really interested to focus in on our conversation today around your leadership career and journey, and to focus on some of the things that have been happening more recently in terms of the changes that have been taking place in your work, and to hear some leadership lessons from you. So let's start with the career story, how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, look, it's I guess how I got to where I come today, from the south coast of New South Wales, grew up where I still live today in the area, in a suburb north of Wollongong, went to university, and I guess coming from university, I worked a lot of jobs and did a lot of work experience as well along the way to really understand what I wanted to do. I always wanted to do marketing, and going through university, I started my degree in marketing, and everybody followed marketing. I thought, well, maybe I'll do accountancy and finance. So I moved over to that, and then yeah, I know, and then,
How did that happen?
but
I mean, how did you make the first choice marketing, then the second choice?
well, I guess one thing I'm fortunate, I always had mentors along the way, and I was always open about. I never had anything that signified exactly what I wanted to do.
Right.
I had an idea, and I guess going through that, when I saw so many students going down that major, I thought, well, the opportunity to get a job and establish a career is going to be more highly competitive. So again, having discussions with lecturers, looking at where I was good at the time, they suggested, why don't you look at accountancy and finance, and obviously tap into the economics as well, and that did excite me. So I got into that, and then in the last year, about to graduate university, I was like, you know what, this just isn't for me, and went back to marketing. And I'm so glad I did. I picked up a major back then, which was also e-commerce, which again, lecturers would say, hey, this is going to be the new thing. It was so boring from a theoretical perspective, but I'm really glad I followed my heart, I guess, and my head in the end, and finished with that degree because I excelled at it. I was really good at it. And and through my whole education, I took the opportunity to do work experience. So through my family's connections, I did work experience again in banking and in finance, right through to retail operations and B2B solutions, and even in travel and entertainment. So that
That's very
really helped.
broad,
It is, and but it was fun. Like, it was just something that I guess for me, having a diverse mix of people around me, not telling me what I should do, but providing me advice and suggestions
Mm-hmm.
along the way was great. So from a young age, I had that listening and mentoring to and coaching, I guess you could say, coaching advice from a lot of people. And I believe I had a pretty good work ethic as well. Worked in my family's business from a young age, and I balanced a lot of jobs, even going through university, from being a
Good
bowser boy.
training.
But like being a bowser boy right through to at a service station and right through to being a professional lifeguard on the beach. So, I was a real active person. And yeah, I think it's helped me develop the pathway. And even from a point of graduating, I thought I was going to head into FMCG industry and had a really good opportunity. And my career changed again. I actually started because I was into really active in sport and did a lot of triathlon, and I was quite competitive in triathlon. I started my own business in personal training, and I saw an opportunity to get into corporate health fitness. And met with, and again, had no fear, went to like top 20 ASX listed companies and had discussions had a little business on the side. And again, through networking, basically landed into the industry I am in today, which is in, call it transport and manufacturing. It's where my career started. They were a transport manufacturer in the Illawarra region, quite reputable. And it just progressed from there, and I've never looked back. I've loved it. I've had the passion. It's a great conversation starter with a lot of people because they don't. It's a different industry. Selling trucks or trailers or vehicle bodies and things like that. It's a totally different industry. So, when you're out at functions or you're networking, people are genuinely engaged and interested, and you've got to get your elevator speech right, I guess, just to really help people understand how diverse the industry is and how critical it is too. So, yeah.
So going back to the marketing idea, which was the early I guess focus that you had, you shifted from that, came back to it.
Yep.
Where does it sit in the rest of your career?
The marketing side, it sits quite prominent. So that's really where I started out to where I am today. Creative mindset, trying to be innovative, trying to think outside the square. It's something that through the companies I've worked with to date, I've always had that marketing connection. Right through to whether it's customer satisfaction, through to brand creation almost. I've been fortunate to launch brands here in Australia, working with multinational companies, and launching and creating brand names as well, and messaging. So, yeah, it sits. If anybody asks me today, where are my solid foundations? They lie around that marketing for sure.
And that's part of your core expertise,
Correct,
because I was hearing so many different things, and I was thinking, wow, there's sort of, you're picking up on every single opportunity that comes your way, and there's a very kind of diverse range of interests that you have. But marketing remains core. So how does that work together with all of that diversity of interest?
Oh, I think well, that's a good question. How did it work with the diversity of interests? I really don't know how I could answer that quite easily. It's sort of something's been put in front of me, and it's helped me analyze, to get through the right pathway. One thing that surprised me was with some of the companies I was working with that they didn't even have a plan in place. So it allowed me to create a bit of autonomy and creativity to find out, okay, where we are and where we want to go. So that's where you start getting a bit of that leadership elements as well, by being able to lead a brand through, choppy waters and whatever it may be. So yeah, I would probably look at Yeah, look at, it gave me a lot of autonomy. I've been fortunate with the companies. I guess the companies trusted my mindset and it gave me a lot of autonomy for them to have faith that I'm going to do the right thing by their brands and make them excel through out the other end to be better. And that came from, again, part of that e-commerce side as well. I've always had an interest in thinking outside the box. So with one of my former positions, we created, in terms of showing a truck online, it was basically, let's make it 360. Let's make it real look so somebody can click on that before they come to a dealership and look, know what they're getting and highlight all these points. And it's really being like you hear those buzzwords today about, the early adapter and words like that. And that's really what it was about, it being the disruptor as well, so trying to disrupt the industry. And again, within the transportation industry, it was really, really exciting to do because, again, there's some great brands and you could leverage a lot, that's for sure.
And so tell me, at what point in your career in that very diverse journey did you start thinking of yourself as a leader?
I think when I worked for a large multinational and through, a senior VP, I was fortunate, he coached me and mentored me and obviously saw that I had a lot more than just the skill sets of being a pull out a marketing manager per se. So as I grew through that organization, I got exposed to sales. I got exposed to service, after sales support, got exposed to a lot of customers and dealing with customer issues and whatnot. And for me, that was good experience and provided me with having a diverse mindset in place. So being able to think differently, being able to also think along on the spot, but also trying to slow down and be a bit more analytical, understand. Then I got into understanding more about the finances and, being more broadened around P&Ls and whatnot as well. So, having people that I guess saw me as becoming a potential leader within the organization as opposed to somebody that has got some really great skill sets and will just follow that pathway. So, I really thank my former managers for that because it did, it got me out of my comfort zone, but I also felt comfortable being out of my comfort zone as well.
So there's challenge and diversity all the way along. So where you're up to now in your leadership career, you're in a general management role. What is that like?
Look, it's great. Every day's different. It's exciting. You've got different challenges, different issues. One thing that I really never take for granted is every day you've got to come in and you learn off your people. So that's something I've always kept an open mind, and I've even through my career, I've been fortunate to experience redundancies, business closures, in my early life, which helped me understand a lot more empathy around people and that human element, and also allowed me to look out for warning signs and be able to manage it. And that's what's really critical, especially as we're starting to shift, call it, out of a booming economy as such, and when things are starting to slow down, the interest rates are impacting, diesel prices are going up. This is where leadership really needs to step up and instill confidence in their team, the confidence with their network, their stakeholders, customers in particular, and take everyone along the journey of adapting to what's important in business right now, to make sure that we're all sustainable at the other end, whether it's 2 months or 2 years that we're going through a bit of a slowdown. We need to be important that we're very empathetic with our people and that, we're there to be able to coach them and guide them through, what's essentially going to be some rough months ahead.
And speaking of, I guess, rough months, but you've had a pretty big change that you've been involved in quite recently. So speaking about future adaptation, you've had quite a bit of past adaptation. But you found yourself in the position of needing to change sites for the business. So really interested in, how you respond to, that sort of almost crisis situation that you needed, and that, the leadership style you took, and what you learned about leading from that process.
I think the you're exactly right. It was it's a whirlwind, and to be fair, it's settling down. The winds, we're not in the we're out of the eye of the storm as such, and we're still finding our feet at our new site. But yeah, look, it was a major impact. But again, you could either there's two options. You could dispel fear and have your whole team realize something's on it and raise concern, or you can be positive about the change and embrace it and basically adapt. It is what it is, right? So that's what we did. I confided with one or two other senior managers within the dealership up here and said, hey, this is the challenge we've got, and this is where we need to be. And to give you an idea, Karen, we were sort of advised in, call it mid-April, that we had to be out, and we had to be out by August 31. So when you're a quite a sizable workshop, retail premises on 20,000 plus square meters, and in Sydney, probably no difference to anywhere else in Australia, it's really hard to find commercial property, let alone in very short notice. So it's like anything, taking a bit of a deep breath and really. What I did a bit too was, get away from work so I had no distractions, so I could formulate a bit of a plan and, go along that almost like a bit like a Gantt chart, So this is our end date. So what do we got to do to get there? We worked with obviously a lot of external stakeholders like real estate and whatnot. And you know what? We had a fantastic team. We had a core project team to really lay the foundations. And then, we held off making any announcements to our team because I wanted to make sure that when we found something, it wouldn't impact on the team. And what I mean by that is making sure there was something close in terms of proximity to the
Where you?
distance of the location. Yep, it's where we were. Making sure that, it was right for our customers, that they could get easily access, the roads are easily accessible for the, big trailers to come, big truck trailers to come in and so forth. The site itself was great for our mechanics and our vehicle bodybuilders and our apprentices to make sure that, that they felt comfortable. So once we found the site, we made the announcement and from that point, I was very transparent. So we had a barbecue. Any questions and the team, anybody could ask me a question and I wouldn't back down from it. So, and from that period of time, we made sure that they could come to me anytime to ask questions. Look, I guess it's in my normal behavior. I'd walk the workshop, if not every day, every second day. So, if anybody wanted to bar me up and have a discussion or a concern, they could. Fortunately, everybody moved across. So that was a big tick. That was one of my biggest concerns.
Yes,
So we staff
absolutely.
retention was great. And at the end of it, upon reflection, it sort of got a bit emotive because as we were setting up, it was great to see the entire team roll up their sleeves and be a part of it. There was no, oh, that's not part of my job or that's not what I do. So it really shows you that, the importance of maintaining a culture and trust that, of a team, when times are tough, that having that collaborative approach really works. So that's something that I'm being even today I'm really proud with our team and we respect everybody here. As you know, we've got a re really diverse team as well, which is fantastic. We've had some issues as we talk now. I don't know about the background, but it's heavy rain here. We had issues at the start where part of the roofs were leaking and that there was risk of electricity and danger and whatnot. And again, to have the team here figure out a plan to sort it out in the short term while we got builders back in to fix it. It was just fantastic. But they looked out for each other. They understood, the importance of our safety culture as well. And yeah, it was stressful. Like it was stressful, but it could have been a lot worse if I didn't have the team around me to be able to roll up their sleeves and make things happen as well. Because to me and to a lot of the team here, what we did was very foreign. Like it's something I haven't been part of before. So again, it was new skills to be able to have to pull a project, coordinate, project manage a new site. It's not a greenfield site, so you got to try to adjust your business to what you've got. And working with the landlord as well, having discussions with them and being really transparent it was favorable for both parties. So it's been really some great learning experiences along the way, and really shows that, in terms of when you've got to manage change, if you have sort of if you're open with communication, you've got good dialogue with your team, and you focus on maintaining that culture and having a trusting work environment and a safe work environment, that it can all come together really well. And that's I truly believe that we've done a fantastic job doing that. And as we talk today, we're only 8 weeks into the new facility, and I don't think many organizations in particular of our size, sort of small to medium sized business up here, could comfortably do that like we did.
Well, congratulations. And there are a few things
Thank
that
you.
I'd like to ask you about. And you've just mentioned this idea of open communication and having good dialogue. That sounds, fundamental to the approach that you took. And I was interested to go back to when you said that you actually informed people about the move once you'd made the decision about what the new site would be. And so there were just a few people who were aware of what was happening prior to that time. How were you able to keep that information so tightly held?
Yeah, it's a very good question. It's look again, having the trust of for the inner sanctum to know what we're doing, and for them to understand that if this went out further, when we don't know where we're going to go, it could have long-term implications on our business. It could create mental, anxiety with your team, and add more pressure on yourself. So essentially, there was two people in our organization that knew, myself and my service manager, and then we brought in our workshop manager along the way when we found out our location, and we still kept that confidential. And Karen, the reason I did, in particular, was not knowing where we're going to go. That can create a lot of fear and uncertainty in a lot of people. And our team are very smart. Our mechanics are, people are smart. They can understand to figure out on an operation like of our size, it's not easy to find somewhere that's in a 2 minute drive or whatever, that they all of a sudden think, oh, I'm going to have to find something a bit more local because I don't want to travel any further, or what it could impact on my family and my income and all of this. So it was really imperative that we kept it quiet. And I explained that to everybody, because I think I recall the announcement I made was probably 4 to 5 weeks before we were going to move. And I explained to everyone the reason I didn't mention anything sooner was because I didn't want people fearing what it is. And that's, please understand, this is the reason why I've been very guarded on where we're going and giving you information. But yeah, when we had that team barbecue, that was the point. Open slather now, you tell me what you want. And look, I did consult with a few, call it suppliers and stakeholders, and it was interesting because I went against the grain, because people, call it outside of our business and outside of our head office, were there was certain suppliers and stakeholders that we had to work with to set up certain functions of the business. And they're like, why haven't you told your staff? Like, you should be telling them. And they're like, well, my recommendation is you should, and then you can combat any of those issues. I outline my issues, and I appreciated their input, but I was like, you know what? I'm already halfway down digging this hole. I'm not going to change now and start filling it up. So, And look, the outcome, as I said earlier, it's been fantastic. We moved across and we kept our staff. We've managed to recruit a lot more staff as well, which has been fantastic. And yeah, as I mentioned, having that trust and communication and confidence in the people that you're confiding in shows that, around my business, I've got people that I can trust any day with any situation.
I mean, the reason I ask that question is not so much because people have got, the alternate advice, and I'm not going to advocate for that, but I think one of the things that leaders often underestimate is how difficult it is to keep information kind of secret or confidential. And so it's testimony to you and how you manage that, and the small, as you say, inner sanctum, that that information didn't get out. But it's incredibly difficult, it seems to me, to keep a tight rein on much information.
No, you're right. And no, I do appreciate that. Because if I reflect even on our head office and obviously the chairman, the CFO and financial people, that they were aware, but head of engineering and so many other people, even my fellow GMs in the other states, weren't aware until it was formulated. So, to be honest with you're right. It's one of those best kept secrets within our organization, where things can leak quite easily. So, I've always been the view, when you, and I know this sounds really strange, but I've always been the view that if you tell somebody and you say keep it to yourself, you want to make sure that they do, because all of a sudden, if somebody else knows, there's a risk of that information, confidential or not, going out. So, my list was very little. I actually had a book of a list of people that were aware, so that I knew if something came out, I could confront them about, hey, have you told so and so or whatever? But I never had to go to the list. And yeah, outside of the organization here and including some stakeholders, there would have been less than 15 people that I communicated with that were aware of the move.
Well, well done.
Because it was something for me. A whole new experience in call it my leadership journey, to be able to project manage and or arrange a move in, less than 4 or 5 months. And it's something I joke with a lot of people. I say, even Scotty Cam from the block and his builders couldn't turn this around as quickly as we did. Like, if they saw this site versus what it was. And that's it too. Like, having trust with our builders and everyone that was taking this on. Like, you would know yourself, Karen, like anyone to find a, I don't know, a plumber to change, to fix a sink might take 2 or 3 weeks to get a plumber out. And for us to essentially change this place around within a month of getting it built and contracts exchanged was phenomenal. And the building crew were fantastic to do that as well.
Excellent work. What was it that most tested you during that process?
Oh, that's a, oh, yeah, okay. Well, I'm not one that gets agitated quite easily. So I think the thing that tested me was trying to keep on top of a project plan. And what I mean by that, when there's so many different moving variables and things that are getting delayed or things that are coming in early, lodging CapExes and making sure that the costs are there and that you haven't forgot. So yeah, managing that was really probably my biggest challenge, but also my biggest experience too. So essentially being a project manager was was it. And that was the true test, to be able to just go in and roll your sleeves out and again trust your project team to be able to do it, and don't be afraid to ask as well, was something. So yeah, really project managing was probably my biggest challenge, and learning on the run was something,
Well,
because
I mean, you sound like you're very, with kind of interest in diverse career moves and experiences. That sounds like you're probably pretty good at learning on the run, but that was maybe learning when having to run much faster than usual.
and I guess when you look back on that, like, even today, I still make sure I'm getting coached, having mentoring sessions and so forth, because society is changing, industry is changing, technology is advancing. You need to be on top of it. And I think upon reflection of your comment there, probably is. It's probably I was probably a bit more fearful for what I was getting into versus what I was probably comfortable in doing, if that makes sense. And able to do. So I guess even like trusting myself to be able to or backing myself to be able to do the job. That's probably one of my challenges at times, is that I have a bit of self-doubt at times. Oh, is this right? And you second guess yourself, and you probably fall down that transient a bit more than just going, you know what, go in and take it on. So yeah.
Do you know, I think that one of the things people don't appreciate anywhere near enough is that idea of self-doubt and self-questioning is actually a huge leadership capability. Because, you know, often you're expected to know everything and do everything and kind of be a super person. So it's not always so comfortable or so well accepted to have those doubts and to ask those questions. And I think it's great to be able to do that, and you know, without beating yourself up for the need to do it, it's actually a really helpful thing. You know, the sort of fool's advocate with yourself, or what haven't I thought of, or I don't know everything, so what have I forgotten? Those kinds of questions are really helpful for, you know, the problem solving and being open to opportunities, shall we say,
Well,
as they arise.
you're exactly right, and there's a lot of leadership books that say, and one of the classic phrases, you can't control what you can't control. So, and that's probably been that subliminal approach, even going through this, is, we can do what we can do. We can stick to a plan. We can run off course from time to time. How we adapt is how we adapt. And like I said, we're pretty fortunate to be able to be in a position that we are now. And embracing your team is something that's really important. Like, just making sure that you don't have to. They don't expect you to be the smartest in the room. I think you're the smartest in the room is if you ask and you consult. If you have a consultative style when needed, and you're not afraid to ask, whether it's, the person that's up to his hands in grease, what he thinks of a certain thing, it challenges their mindset, and it helps you learn something. That's for sure.
Fantastic, amazing. I love that quote, you know, smartest person in the room if you ask the questions. Yes.
That's true.
Yeah, that's great. So Glenn, to summarize then the conversation, what do you know, what are the three key things that leaders should be focusing on when they are leading change?
Three key things. Well, I think it'd be silly for me not to say trust, given I've spoken about it, and I do agree with that. You got to trust in your people. You really need to trust in your staff and have the confidence that they are going to do well without you looking over their shoulder or having to check on them all the time. So that would probably be one. One that I'm really focused on at the moment with our team and even moving in here is professional development and training. I mean, I've spoken about coaching and mentoring in an ever-changing environment. I think that's really important because, I've got a relatively young management team as well, and for them to be able to understand when the economy changes, how to adapt, how to manage their emotions, how to manage with their staff. And again, we do have a diverse workforce here, male, female, different nationalities, different ages, and so forth. So making sure that, I can focus on their professional development and having that coaching available. And that also, that coaching and training goes to my whole team. So even in the first 8 weeks here, we've had product suppliers coming to coach out and train our mechanics and upskill them, which is really, really important. So that would be another, what would be another
That
one?
was number two.
Number two. Number three, what'd I say? Trust, focus on training. You know what? Some of it's probably self-assessment as well. And making sure, I think a lot of leaders these days and managers don't give themselves a pat on the back. And I think sometimes having a self-reflection to, as we spoke about before, and being open to having a bit of self-doubt is it can be a strength. But being able to sort of, reflect Make sure you have your own reflection time to go, what did I do well? What could I have done better? And don't beat yourself up on, if you haven't done something right. Like at the end of the day, we're all only human. And I think, yeah, making sure that you have enough time to self-reflect, whether it's on the day or the task. Don't be afraid to shut the door or go for a walk down to get a coffee or lunch or whatever it may be, and just have time to self-reflect. And fortunately for me, I like to get up early and go for a bike ride, and I feel that really clears my head, and I sort of reflect on the day that just had, and making and sort of use that time to tactfully plan on how I'm going to go in into the next day,
That's
Yeah.
three great things. They're really very positive and constructive, very people focused things. So, trust and enable growth and make sure that you're checking your progress and reflecting on what's happening. So it's a
Yeah.
great little trifecta of
Yeah,
things to
thank you.
focus on.
Because we all need a bit more positiveness in our lives at the moment. I think people are getting more and more as technology advances, people want things now. So, we can get stressed a lot easier in our current life, especially coming out of COVID. So we do need, we need to be a lot more positive.
Good. Well, thank you for leading that charge. Yeah, we need it.
We're
And
trying,
thank you
definitely.
very much for the conversation. So it was great to learn more about your experience and that diversity of different experiences and pathways that you've had, but also within that common thread around marketing and how that's been so important to your success. And thanks for sharing the recent story and the journey. Very fresh, not quite over yet, but it's great story to hear about how to respond to change, putting people at the heart of that, and being very successful. So a very inspiring story to hear. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's great.